Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Exodus chapter 34, verses 9 through 35. The Reverend Mark Raby is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The reading for this morning is from Exodus chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, and yet was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I surely have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. This is the word of the Lord. God's grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I know their sufferings and have come down to deliver them, says the Lord. It's the Tuesday after the transfiguration of our Lord, in which we will be celebrating all this week, commemorating. And the church year puts before us this context for our life in Christ, as we understand where we are, as we are not yet at Lent. We've come from Christmas and not quite through the Epiphany season. Sunday's gospel took us to the mountain where Jesus manifested himself to Peter, James, and John, and it is to these disciples, as Matthew Gibbs would put it, the privilege of seeing the glory of Jesus is so they might continue to learn that the cross and glory are not mutually exclusive categories, but are God's ordained sequence of salvation, both for the one who accomplishes it and for those who receive it in Jesus. On that mountain, Moses and Elijah were speaking to our Lord about his journey to the cross and that chief purpose of the transfiguration in Matthew's gospel is to proclaim the true identity and the glory of Jesus so as to undergird and support Jesus' difficult teaching about the cross. The glorious Jesus is the one who has begun to teach about God's unexpected way of salvation. Well, Scripture again and again makes known to us God's unexpected way of salvation. For God's ways and wisdom, thankfully, are not our ways of wisdom or our ways in which we might hope to be saved. When Moses tried to lead his way by stepping in to save his fellow man at the hands of the Egyptian taskmasters, it did not turn out so well. He had to flee from Pharaoh for murdering an Egyptian, fleeing for his life, fleeing from that place in which he once lived there with Pharaoh, now out to the wilderness. But time passed to repent from his past, and in the Midian wilderness, God prepared and seasoned Moses for what he had prepared already beforehand for his people and for Moses. This Moses would be a rescuer of his people. The Lord would use him to bring his people, his children, out of Egypt. So while Moses is in the wilderness of Midian watching the flock of Jethro, the Lord appears to Moses, as we heard in our text today, in that burning bush, that non-consuming burning bush. And the Lord, who has seen and heard the cries of his afflicted and enslaved people in Egypt, calls Moses from this burning bush to lead his people out of Egypt into the promised land, a promise God had made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, in their own lives showing how God's unexpected way of salvation comes forth. And from the holy ground at the foot of the burning bush, the Lord commissions Moses with a sign and a word of promise: "You will serve me here on this mountain." The sign was assurance that God would rescue his people and that they would serve him there on that mountain. Yet the Lord didn't tell Moses what would happen between now and when they get there. Perhaps he'd certainly say, "No way." Moses, though, humbled from his time in the wilderness as a shepherd in the land of Midian, said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What's his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel: I am has sent me to you." The God who is, unlike the Egyptian gods who aren't, sends Moses to redeem his people because he's heard their cries. He's seen them in the midst of their afflictions and has come to redeem them. Through this season of Epiphany, God has made known to us his Son through his word, at his baptism, through the miracles, and through his transfiguration. We learn of God who manifests himself to us through his word, God's unexpected way of salvation, coming personally to redeem his people, the cross before glory. Jesus will know personally suffering for you and for all of humanity. The one who knew no sin becomes sin for us. The one who was on the mountain with Moses and Elijah manifesting his glory, and who the Father says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased, listen to him," is the one who on Golgotha suffers and dies for you. On that mountain, he willingly knows your suffering and sin, for he bears it for you. The one better than Moses or Aaron or any other prophet or high priest, the fulfillment of God's promises to rescue and redeem us, Jesus. While only a few saw him on the mountain of transfiguration, on Calvary, he makes himself known, the suffering servant, bleeding and dying for all of humanity. But on the last day, every eye will see him, and every knee will bow before him. While Moses was sent to redeem his people from Egyptian slavery and bring them to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the land of promise to the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses only saw that land from afar. He never got to enter in. His sin in the wilderness prevented his entrance to the earthly land of promise. But Jesus, better than Moses, will bring you to the land of promise for which we await. While our Lord died and was buried, he rose again, having conquered sin and death for you. Sin did not hinder him because he had no sin and never committed any. And Christ Jesus will bring you not only to heaven, but to the land of promise, the new heaven and new earth, where we shall dwell with him. The land fulfilling that land of promise, where there is no curse, no death, no sin, no tears of sorrow. There you will see your Lord face to face, and his name will be on your foreheads, and night will be no more. And you will need no light of lamp or sun for that matter, for the Lord God will be your light, and you will reign forever and ever. By faith, you receive that wonderful promise in Jesus. In closing, we hear the words that we will sing very shortly, verse 6 of our hymn. What joy to know when life has passed, the Lord we love is first and last, the end and the beginning. He will one day, O glorious grace, transport us to that happy place beyond all tears and sinning. Amen, amen, come Lord Jesus, crown of gladness. We are yearning for the day of your returning. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.